This is Pure Decking for Thursday, February the 13th. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and oh shit, I forgot to get a girlfriend again this year. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like descending into a police state, information security, and the various ways to punish my liver. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the one and only Newcastle Werewolf Blood Red Ale, escaped from Britain.
Nice. Very nice. Are you 46? Are you 46? What are you drinking?
Definitely not a novel written by Tolkien that Madman's drinking. Just plain old coffee, Morps.
Fair enough. And finally, Sard. Hey, Sard.
Hey. I have a shock top here.
And I am really puking myself tonight. I have Jim Beam and Coke.
Nice.
In separate glasses, I hope.
They were for a little while. I know it's horrible. I'm mixing my bourbon.
I was gonna say, isn't Rofaxin gonna like yell at you or something?
Or he might, stab but you it's with cheap. A spoon? It's like the cheapest bourbon there is, so nobody's gonna get too upset with me. And it's just something different, so it's a way to stretch it. You know, make it last a little longer.
Sure. I just drink it straight, slower.
Slower, right. let me let you work in network security for a while, and you tell me how that goes for you. So, I guess to get right into it, performance on VNC just got a hell of a lot better. Nice.
All that RAM you just finished downloading.
Yeah, that was it. Actually, I think it was that traffic shaping thing I had running. That's annoying, actually. I'll just have to leave that thing disabled. Anyways, so moving into discussion topic for today. Comcast is trying to buy Time Warner Cable. For those of you not based in the States, that would be the biggest cable company in the United States trying to buy the second biggest cable company in the United States. There would be effectively zero competition in both television and ISP space for like 60% of the country, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it would turn it into a duopoly, and the other member of this duopoly doesn't have representation in many states.
No. So, anyways.
Is it going to go through?
Well, we don't know. The FCC chairman is rather favorable to the cable companies, so there's a good chance of it. But they're making their argument as though there are content providers merging. They say that there's sufficient competition between from Netflix and YouTube, and the fact that a lot of the cell phone companies are getting into providing television services, that there's plenty of competition to allow the merger. The problem is that to get to a lot of the other content, you still need an ISP, and the cell phone providers kind of suck at that too. So you're looking at a zero competition setup for internet providing and cable. I mean, yeah, a lot of the utilities already have region-specific oh, there's a term for that. Madman, help me out here.
They're generally referred to as natural monopolies, as the government said, this is the only company that will exist in this area.
Thank you. Natural monopoly is what I was looking for. I was wanting to say the city-granted monopoly, but it's like, that's not
Hawk
right.
Brothers.
Yeah.
It's technically a city-granted monopoly when it comes to cable companies and even a lot of times utilities. But the term for it is natural monopoly, which literally doesn't exist. All monopolies are backed by the government. They don't naturally exist.
Well, the argument for having a city say, okay, this will be the cable provider for the area, is that, one, these kind of agreements give the city a little bit of leeway in saying, okay, you're going to run infrastructure to these various areas and stuff like that. But the theory is that if you had two different companies trying to provide infrastructure, one, you might end up with four or five different sets of lines going places, but two, neither one of them might be able to provide infrastructure out to some of the more rural areas or areas where it's like, you know, the poor part of town where nobody's going to want to run it. So they're saying that the argument was that these natural monopolies give the city government some say in where they're going to run the infrastructure. There was also the argument that two companies competing with each other might not be able to afford to put the infrastructure in. I'm not sure that that's a valid argument, but that was also one I read when I was kind of looking up this stuff.
So, neither of them are particularly valid arguments.
I'm not disagreeing. Those are just the ones I found.
Yeah.
So, anyways, a couple of articles here on this. Ars Technica has an article. Comcast this morning confirmed reports that it has struck a deal to buy Time Warner Cable for $45.2 billion in stock, a merger that was blasted by consumer advocates and is sure to receive antitrust scrutiny. But worry not. Comcast says this merger is actually pro-customer and that U.S. cable and TV and internet markets are so highly competitive that the Department of Justice and Federal Communications Commission should wave it through. While we believe that this transaction is and shall be and will be determined to be pro-competitive, pro-consumer, and strongly in the public interest when we make our case. I can't get through this with a straight face. How did this guy get this out? And seek approval from federal regulators, we recognize that certain competitive concerns might be raised about the consolidation of these assets under one roof, Comcast said in a fact sheet. I don't think you get to call it that when you're putting your bullshit on the... Well, I guess. We strongly believe that these competitive concerns are already addressed, not only by the highly competitive marketplace in which the new company will vigorously compete for subscribers, but also by existing rules and regulations. Comcast noted that the deal would bind Time Warner Cable to net neutrality obligations Comcast made with when it acquired NBC Universal. To get that deal approved, Comcast agreed to follow the terms of FCC's open internet order for 7 years, regardless of whether the order was overturned in court. So that was... Okay, that little bit wasn't really relevant there. But, yeah, so Comcast is actually trying to buy Time Warner Cable. And the only thing that's going to stop it is if antitrust says, no. I mean, it's not quite Coke buying Pepsi, but you can see it from there.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm saying, like, how many people did they have to pay off? How are they... letting this happen? I don't get it.
Well, it hasn't been approved yet. It's going up for approval.
Okay.
And I mean, they're making the argument that there's enough other entertainment companies out there, but there's not enough ISPs for this kind of thing in that market.
Exactly. Like you said, you got to get to the entertainment to be able to consume the entertainment. If there's only one company, like you said, and 60% of the U.S. that does that, it's kind of a monopoly.
Poor people.
I guessed at the number 60%. I don't actually know what the real number is.
Right, but I
want to point that out.
Yeah, we know it's a big chunk.
Well, let's say they all have an equal third, because there are three big ones. It's going to be 66%. Honestly, AT&T's contract with, I think, Dish doesn't amount to much.
So, I mean, I just do want to point out, I pulled that number out of my butt. I don't know what the actual percentage is, but that's kind of what I thought it was. BGR has a great article, too, about how ISPs are, because they don't want to build new infrastructure, they're going through government and making it impossible to set up competition, which is essentially what Comcast already has through most of these natural monopoly agreements. So I don't want to get into the BGR article, but it's a good read. You should go read it. I had a chunk of it thrown in the show notes there, but it's not really as relevant to the conversation as I thought it would be. I mean, basically, because of these natural monopolies, American ISPs suck. There is no competition in the market. They have no reason to, you know, try to provide better service, lower prices, or anything like that, because you don't have a choice. It's like you if you want internet, you're going to go with your cable provider, because, I mean, I could get DSL and go at, like, you know, a hundredth of the speed for where I am. I know some places DSL is as good or better than cable, but out here it's not. The only other option I had would be to go through a local cell phone company actually provides internet through a little 4G router that they sell, which I'm actually seriously thinking about, but its speed still wouldn't be near what I'm getting with cable.
And yeah. The natural monopolies disincentivize them from expanding. Around here, there are several communities and small towns just near where we live that don't have cable because there's no reason for our ISP to expand there, or cable company, however you want to refer to them. And because of their lockdown in local areas, no other provider can move in or attempt to start up shop.
That was kind of why I threw in the BG, the BGR article there. It goes into how you have these areas that the big ISPs aren't taking care of, so you'll have a group of people to get together and set up a little local one, only to have the county or city government come in and shut it down because it violates their exclusivity agreements with cable and cell phone providers.
Which I personally think is crap. You can't have an exclusivity agreement to not provide a service.
Yeah.
But it happens.
Clause in that.
I know it's in there, and I know it's all legally mumbo-jumbo to be written up that way.
It's retarded. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But it's just... What do? Do you start building the darknet mesh net? Because, I mean, this is getting stupid.
You go in and deregulate... That's how you do it. No company should have a guaranteed customer base. If I don't want to do business with someone, I shouldn't be forced to. And if I'm stupid enough to think I can run tons and tons of cable around this town when there's already tons already existing, I can still make a profit. I'm going to do it. I should be allowed to try and then either succeed or fail.
Well, a lot of the argument comes in that... they're trying to lump fiber optic lines in to fall under these pre-existing exclusivity agreements. There were several fiber optic ISPs. That was part of the other article there that were trying to go in with fiber because they thought that wouldn't run afoul of these agreements. And so they were getting city governments to go in and
tweak the contract
so that it would apply. Yeah. Because Google Fiber went into Kansas City, and then Kansas City's government started trying to pass laws so that nobody else could run fiber. So it's just,
you're skipping right past the whole socialist aspect of society and just going straight for communism, aren't you?
Apparently. Yeah. I mean,
working on it.
It's sad because we're going to end up with really shitty filtered, cable-style internet of, would you like the social media package? It's an extra $10.59 a month. And, you've used too many of your, I guess I wouldn't call it minutes. What would they call it? Bytes? Megabytes, I guess? Gigabyte
per month? I remember being metered, never again.
Yeah.
Like 200 meg a month and stuff like that. Horrible days. Horrible days.
And that's what's going to happen if you let it get down to just this handful of ISPs, because it'll be like cell phones. From a technical standpoint, the concept of a limited number of minutes or text messages on your cell phone is bunk. It costs them nothing as long as their towers are within a certain amount of usage. Because when the tower, when the usage on the tower, when the bandwidth of the tower is filled up, they rent time on other towers and other interconnects, but it's like Ethernet cable. The infrastructure's there. It costs nothing to run data over it once it's established. The billing for minutes was just a way to figure out just a way to charge people.
Yeah.
So,
There's
every cell phone company
that,
does it. So.
Yeah. Guy at work that absolutely refused to pay for any sort of texting package for the longest time. I think he finally gave in now, but he's like, it's bullshit. I already get data on this phone. Why should I pay an extra $10 a month for unlimited text when it goes over the same exact route as the data does?
Even before then, do you know what text messages were? Text messages were sent in the spare space from the control messages going from your phone to the tower. Your phone was sending them anyways. Text messaging literally costs the phone company nothing. But if you use more than your 200 or whatever your plan is, I mean, it's just... So, I mean, it's a way for them to bill you. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You do have to bill to keep a service going, right? But, you know, ISPs want to move away from this unlimited model that they all started with and go to this metered model that I guess the cell phone companies figured out a while back. And it's just annoying because you're seeing them glom up, and Comcast is going to be like AT&T was, I'm wanting to say, in the 70s before they were split up. When did they split them up?
When they were the big
evil... I don't know when Ma Bell split them up.
Big evil telephone corporation, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember exactly when AT&T was split up via antitrust.
So now they're just allowing the same thing again.
Yeah, basically.
History repeats itself.
Thanks, Obama.
And it's being done the same way. The reason AT&T was a monopoly is government said, you will run lines, we will make it where you're the only person that can run lines. Oh.
So, I mean, I...
Yeah,
I
so they got to be big because we made them big.
I don't know what the answer is to this. I guess deregulation would be fantastic. I don't know how you get there from here. Go ahead.
Bam. You can even put the bam in there at the end.
You broke up. Try that again.
Oh. You just forward a bill saying anyone who wants to start a cable provider can. So we need to find out who in this area makes that decision. I think it's the County Board of Trustees. And then talk to all of them and vote for everyone that doesn't, or vote against one who doesn't agree with me.
So.
And that will have to be done in every town and possibly every state.
Well, there is a very legitimate logistical question of infrastructure. Do you want to let anybody get up on the utility poles and run line? Because you'll get some very interesting, you know, wiring jobs if you let anybody go up those poles.
I'm just going
to
hang in.
You're already required to be a licensed electrician. So if Madman wants to hire his electricians to do it, they're licensed separately. Madman should still be able to hire electricians to run his wires. Because right now the laws aren't saying you have to be a licensed electrician. Oh, well, they are. They do still have to be licensed. But right now, it's only these people can do it.
What were you saying there?
It would be a boon to their employees for me to be able to start up a ISP, because I could then raise prices on their hourly pay to get them to come work for me.
I don't think it's a good idea that just anyone can start up and run cable. Because to save money, dude, I ain't renting trucks. Just put it at head height. It's fine.
The question with this isn't, can anyone run cable? There's already requirements on how far up the cable can be, and you have to be licensed to run it. But they're only allowing certain companies to do these things. I would still be forced to abide by all the laws that Comcast and Time Warner are. The only difference is I would be allowed to enter the market. Right now, I'm not even allowed to enter the market.
All right, so we did this three times here in the last 2 years to try and stimulate the economy. First one was the pink bats. Right, what they did, they said, okay, everybody's house needs to be insulated. Global warming's coming, get ready. So everybody who's got any incentive to install pink bats, sign this piece of paper. You're now a licensed pink bat installer. Guess how many installers died due to electrocution? They were falsifying stuff. They had no idea what they were doing. They were following all the regulations, and licensed people were doing it. But they just gave licenses to anyone. Then we had the solar panel installation. Anybody who can install a solar panel, go right ahead. Oh, shit, look at all the house fires we have. Yeah, okay, we're going to build school infrastructure. Anybody who's a builder... Oh, shit. Yeah, okay.
You know you're making an argument against licensing anyone for anything. You're not making a good argument for people should be licensed.
No, I'm making an argument that you just can't open up a market to anybody to get licenses to start doing stuff. If you just open a market up to anyone, you're going to get the rotten people coming in. The scammers, the ones who don't really care about their employees. The fly-by-nighters. Yes, unlimited broadband for 2 years. Just upfront fee of $2,000 and away you go. Oh, we're broke. Sorry. Yeah, that contract's gone now because we don't exist anymore. Just saying, man. That's how it seems to happen when you open it up to a very regulated market.
But I'm still pointing out, you're making an argument against licensing. Because all these people you're saying, you said were licensed. So being licensed means jack fuck all, according to you. So we should even get rid of licensing and just have anyone run the cables they want.
I think you got to price it and have enough red tape around it to where it forces legitimate companies to follow the rules. So you can't just have a million startups. I'm not arguing against licensing. Licensing is needed, but it's not the be-all and end-all of doing a job. There's a lot more to it than licensing. Because you don't have to comply to everything. You have to comply on paper.
I'm still saying, let anyone into the market. The crappy people will get fired, go out of business, and they can be sued.
By then, they've already taken a wad of money.
They can be in prison, they can be sued. Hi, would you like to be raped in prison?
Prison. What builder do you know has ever gone to prison?
Most business builders don't do massive scams like that, but I can name some people from Enron that got nice and raped.
People actually go to jail from Enron?
Yes.
Wow, that's a
first. You fuck enough people, you go to prison after they take your money.
But you gotta fuck important people. That's why Enron fucked important people.
And Enron just fucked people.
Alright.
Yeah, builders, especially if you can attribute an accident, you're going to jail.
I'm done there, Morps.
All right, well, we can move on. I was enjoying you two duking it out there. So.
Oh, I wasn't duking. No, just pointing.
We're just
out
discussing
how it happened here. You know.
I know, and it's a good conversation. I wasn't going to cut it off early.
Oh,
so.
I thought it was going too long. So, but anyway.
But that's really the only alternative, is either you're going to regulate it the way it is, in which case the government chooses and we get fucked, or you let people choose who they do business with, and if that business starts fucking you, you can go do business with someone else.
I'll give you that.
My only real problem with the government choosing, I mean, yeah, the government chooses, but the government is allowed to use force. You're not. If you have a free market, at least the scammer has to try to convince you that they're not a scam. And, you know, the moment they've scammed somebody and word gets out, that gets hard. But with government, if they say, no, Comcast, thou shalt be the only cable company in the area, well, you're kind of forced to do it. And if you try to set up another one, they shut you down. So, I don't know. It's just kind of a philosophical thing on my part, but...
Well, you're slowly becoming libertarian, my friend.
You're getting the Australian model, so good luck with that.
Yeah,
enjoy
apparently.
Your metered bandwidth.
We're just going to have to set up underground Wi-Fi or something like that and just be done with it. But by underground, I mean pirate. I don't mean...
burying Wi-Fi antennas around town.
Well, I suppose you could. I mean...
Wouldn't that kill reception?
Well, typically you do Wi-Fi by line of sight, but you can usually have it behind things. Like, we've got Wi-Fi access points behind drop ceilings all the time. Although I'm not quite sure how much signal loss you would have from burying the damned thing. That might be a digital dojo in the future. Just measure signal
have you got
loss
a,
burying an access point.
Have you got a Wi-Fi router there, Morps?
Several.
Okay, start digging some holes this weekend in the yard.
Not this weekend. I'm going to wait for it to warm up a bit. The ground's still frozen. So, anyways, let's go ahead and move on to news stories here. And after that fun, depressing one, I actually have a nice one. This one's from Torrent Freak. Does publishing a hyperlink to freely available content amount to an illegal communication in to the public and therefore a breach of creator's copyright under European law? After examining a case referred to it by Sweden's Court of Appeals, the Court of Justice at the European Union has ruled that no, it does not. The EU's court has said no, linking is not copyright infringement. The European Union has been expanding since its creation in the 1950s and is now comprised of 28 member states, each committed to EU law. One of the key roles of the EU Court of Justice is to examine and interpret EU legislation to ensure its uniform application across all those member states. The court is also called upon by national courts, I should say, to clarify finer points of EU law to progress local cases with Europe-wide implications. One such case referred to the CJEU by Sweden's Court of Appeals is the particular interest to internet users as it concerns the very mechanism that holds the web together. The dispute centers on a company called Retriever Service AB, an internet-based subscription service that indexes links to articles that can be found elsewhere online for free. The problem came when Retriever published links to articles published on a newspaper's website that were written by Swedish journalists. The company felt that it did not have to have... The company felt that it did not have to compensate the journalists for simply linking to their articles, nor did it believe that embedding them within its site amounted to copyright infringement. The journalists, on the other hand, felt that by linking to their articles, Retriever had communicated their works to the public without permission. In the belief that they should be paid, the journalists took their case to the Stockholm District Court. They lost their case in 2010 and decided to take the case to appeal. From there, the Sveva Court of Appeal sought advice from the EU Court. Today, the Court of Justice published its lengthy decision, and it's largely good news for the Internet. In the circumstances of this case, it must be observed that by making available the works concerned by means of a clickable link, such that the main proceedings does not lead to the works in question being communicated to a new public, the court writes. Man, I didn't read that very well.
It wasn't written very well.
I'm going to just stop reading there. Basically, they're saying that a link isn't republishing. A link is pointing, which, gee, what a surprise. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, so... that's why they call it a hyperlink. I'm glad that they ruled in favor for the other guys and didn't make them pay, because this is retarded.
It's like, we're giving you free advertising. You know, and they sued them.
Yeah, it's not like they're screen scraping or copying all of that and reproducing it as their own. That's something completely different. They're linking back to the original material. That happens all the freaking time. There's no problem with that.
Yeah. So, anyways, the EU made the right call. Hyperlinking is not copyright infringement. Hopefully somebody points to that next time the RIAA sues somebody.
Yeah. Where's the hallelujah button?
I'm not messing with the soundboard at the moment because I'm having some problems with the VNC. So, anyways, next story here. This one's from Reuters. I'm not doing well with the reading tonight, tell you what. A computer security software firm has uncovered what it calls the first cyber espionage campaign believed to be started by a Spanish-speaking country, targeting government agencies, energy companies, and activists in 31 countries. Dubbed The Mask, the campaign has operated undetected since 2007 and infected more than 380 targets before it stopped last week, Moscow-based Kaspersky Labs said on Monday. The firm decided to identify the government suspected to be behind the cyber spying, but said that it had been most active in Morocco, followed by Brazil, the United Kingdom, France, and Spain. The suspected involvement of a Spanish-speaking nation is unusual, as most sophisticated cyber spying operations uncovered so far have been linked to the United States, China, Russia, and Israel. Those nations have been said to be behind the Dooku, Gauss, and Flame malware, for example. Kaspersky's lab said the discovery of the mask suggests that more countries have become adept in internet spying. The firm's research only came across the operation because it infected Kaspersky's own software. There are many super advanced groups that we don't know about. This is the tip of the iceberg. Kostlin Rau, director of Kaspersky's global research team, said in an interview on the sidelines of a conference sponsored by his company in the Dominican Republic. Rau said the mask hit government institutions, oil, gas companies, and activists using malware that was designed to steal documents, encryption keys, and other sensitive files, as well as take full control of infected computers. So, your average botnet. The operation infected computers running Microsoft's Windows and Apple's Mac, and likely mobile devices running iOS and Android, according to Kaspersky Lab. The companies did not immediately respond to requests for comments. So, Yeah, I'm. It's just they're kind of going nuts because they found a new one and it's written in Spanish. It's like, wait a minute, the what Spanish speaking country is doing this shit? So the reason I point this out is
written in Spanish, found by Russians. Think about it.
Pretty much, but the reason I point this out is more and more of the world is becoming internet savvy, so it's going to get more and more cyberpunk from here, people. Just bear in mind that all governments are going to be trying to spy on as much as they possibly can. So maybe it's not a bad idea to go hyper-paranoid and do everything on the internet in a virtual machine, just saying. be really sure about where you got that network card from. Certified pre-owned. Yeah, you can have owned network card and video card firmware. It's just something to keep in mind when you're buying your parts on eBay. So, anyways.
Over here in a cry now.
Yeah, those ones are fun because they're really hard to figure out what the hell's going on. It's like, you see the network traffic. There's nothing in the operating system. You boot it up with a live CD. You still see the network traffic. What the hell?
Time to flash the BIOS and start from scratch.
Time to really start from scratch. This machine's going in the trash is what happens when we find one doing that. Because you don't know just how bad it is. It's like we could try to reflash everything in there, but truthfully, there are firmwares that you will... That are in your machine that you will never find updates to on the internet, so there is no reflashing because you don't have anything to flash onto it. You know, things like the firmware that controls the battery in your laptop, for example. When was the last time you saw Dell put out an update for that? How about the firmware that runs the charger plug? All of these things have little microcontrollers in them. How about your keyboard? When was the last time you saw a firmware update for your keyboard?
Good point.
Ever.
So, just pointing it out. Next story is from fizz.org. Police have seized Dutch online bazaar Utopia, a site similar to the infamous Silk Road for trading illegal goods, and arrested five suspects, the Dutch police prosecutor said Wednesday. Buyers could access the site using the Tor platform, which provides anonymity on the internet, and purchase drugs, including ecstasy and cocaine, as well as guns and stolen credit cards. Purchases could be made using the virtual Bitcoin currency, of which police seized 900, worth between 400,000 and 600,000 euros. So they only had 900 Bitcoins in Utopia? I thought it was had more than that. Police infiltrated and bought several items of drugs and firearms, the public prosecutor said in a statement. Undercover Dutch police were also contacted and received a down payment to carry out a contract killing. The
statement. That fucker needs to be dead.
Bullshit.
I mean, that many cops. The dude needs to be whacked like today.
Undercover Dutch police were also contacted and received a down payment to carry out a contract killing, the statement said. Oh, trolling at its highest levels. The internet news website Deep.Web published screen grabs of some of the products previously available on Utopia, including the Blue Nintendo Ecstasy Pills at 270 euros for 50. Police opened their investigation last year. I'm still laughing at contract killings. Police opened their investigation last year into a Utopia and similar website Black Market Reloaded, which left the internet after receiving a lot of visitors at the end of last year, the prosecutor said. The increase in BMR visitors came after U.S. authorities in October shut down the Silk Road website known as the Drugs eBay. I don't know anybody who called the Silk Road the Drugs eBay.
Well, these guys totally know what they're on about, man.
No, seriously, who the fuck was calling Silk Road the Drugs eBay? I've never heard this.
The same dudes who are believing that they're getting paid for a contract killing.
Police seized Utopia's Germany-based servers and arrested one person there. The Dutch authorities hope he will be extradited to the Netherlands. The other four suspects, aged 29 to 46, were detained in the Netherlands. Utopia was accessible using Tor, An anti-censorship navigator that affords web anonymity by shifting the apparent identity of a user's computer around the world by changing its IP address. U.S. authorities in October arrested... Okay, yeah. It's Silk Road, so...
Who cares? You're going to jail in the Netherlands.
You know...
Who gives a shit? It's like a holiday camp.
Well, here's the thing. They were running this anonymous online marketplace, and they got caught. That's like, what's the point of using Tor if they just go catch you? I mean, they just know who you are.
Is it that, or are they using Tor wrong? Or I mean,
what,
did
they
screw up and not use Tor a couple of times or something?
Maybe, but that's the if they're talking about undercover Dutch police. But if it's all going through Tor, how the hell are you fingering anybody? I mean, I realize somebody's got to mail it to you, so if they're mailing it from their house and they're dumb enough to put their return address on there, maybe. But
I hesitate to guess that they're already selling drugs and weapons and shit on the streets, and this is just branching out. And they're already known to authorities.
Well, that could be the case. I'm just thinking, is Tor that badly compromised that it doesn't matter?
Right. Well, wasn't there some study that someone was looking at the traffic exiting Tor nodes and noticing that it is being manipulated on, a significant amount of nodes?
Oh, yeah, like half of the Tor exit nodes are run on government IPs. I mean, IPs known to belong to various government agencies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going for the whole, control enough routers attack on Tor to be able to correlate your traffic to figure out who the hell you are. But I just... That's the part that I'm interested in, is how the hell do they catch these guys? I mean, if they're just being stupid at the way they're running it. It's like, you pay in Bitcoin, then we transfer it into this account here, and that belongs to Joe Bob, because they can go check that. And I just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be something like that, or like you said, isn't that how they caught Sabu, is... He was using Tor, but screwed up a couple of times and connected.
Yeah,
he logged in.
He logged into IRC from the wrong IP address a couple of times, and they were
able
to use that to figure out a Facebook address. And once they correlated enough, they got a confession out of him. I think.
Yep.
So, anyways, next story up is from Deep.Web. It was just announced in a post by DEFCON, the Silk Road administrator, and this is the new Silk Road, Silk Road 2. It just became true. Silk Road 2, the site who counted to be the security fortress of the deep web, has just been hacked and its Bitcoin stolen, he announced on site's forums. This site is very poorly written, or this story is very poorly written, so I'm doing the best I can here. I've got snippets of what he posted on the forums here. He wrote, Christmas brought grave news. I cannot adequately express how deeply honored I was by your unconditional support of my staff. I do not expect the same reaction today to today's revelations. This movement is built on integrity, and I feel obligated to be forthright with you. I held myself to a high standard as your leader, and yet now I must utter words all too familiar in this sacred community. Their scarred community, I guess would be a better reading of their... We have been hacked. Nobody is in danger, no information has been leaked, and the server access was never obtained by the attacker. Our initial investigations indicate that a vendor exploited a recently discovered vulnerability in the Bitcoin protocol known as transaction malleability. This is the thing that shut down Mt. Gox, by the way. To repeatedly withdraw coins from our system until it was completely empty. Despite our hardening and pen testing procedures, this attack vector was outside of penetration testing scope due to being rooted in the Bitcoin protocol itself. The attack hit us at the worst possible time. We're planning on relaunching the new auto-finalized and dispute center this past weekend, and all of our projections of order finalization volume indicated that we would need the community's full balance in hot storage. In retrospect, this was incredibly foolish, and I take full responsibility for this decision. I have failed you as your leader, and I am completely devastated by today's discoveries, as I should have taken Mt. Gox and Bitstamp's lead and disabled withdrawals as soon as the malleability issue was reported. I was slow to respond and too skeptical of possible issues at hand. It is a crushing blow. I cannot find words to express blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. Where was it? He included transaction logs in the post if you want to see details there. They've got a bunch of information about the people they think took them. And then they start arguing about how you really shouldn't use centralized marketplaces with Bitcoin at all. But there was an update. The amount of Bitcoin stolen was calculated by Nicholas Weaver, a computer security researcher, to be around 4,474.266, I'm not going to read the rest of that, BTC, with a value of about $2.7 million. And here's the really fun part, update two to this story. As time passes, there are more and more suspicions that this was, in fact, a scam by the Silk Road staff and not a hack. So, yeah, they're starting to say, there are people going through their logs and figuring out that parts of it might be bullshit. So now they think that the Silk Road staff just ran off with the Bitcoin.
Or maybe
somebody inside the Silk Road staff who had access to all that.
Right.
Yeah.
But
so.
Fuck, of course they ran off with the goddamn money. There's $2 million sitting there. All you do each day is sit in a little dark room scripting. $2.2 million. I could do a lot with that. You know? Get my neck beard off. Get a new fedora.
What I've always thought, though, is if someone ever actually tried to cash that out, there's no... I would assume you would have to spread it out across several exchanges. Is there... You guys really think there's an exchange out there with enough cash to back $2.7 million of Bitcoin out there?
I don't know who's auditing the exchanges.
That's where you get a private buyer. That's how this shit works, man. He will line up three or four private buyers to give him, you know, 10 cents on the dollar. That's how you move that shit quick.
That would make sense. Okay.
That's how I would have done it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just still funny. Like, Silk Road 2, okay, website to buy illegal
eBay
substances.
Two.
And yeah.
Yeah, eBay, the drugs eBay or whatever the hell.
Yeah, and they supposedly get hacked. Wait, what did everyone expect? Whatever.
Some Russian dude's probably sitting on that money now and just pushing it out slowly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just find a buyer that'll give you like 10 cents on the dollar and take it and run.
Yep.
Good point. Yeah.
Well, not only that, with Bitcoin, it's easy enough to generate an amazing number of wallets and just do tons of transactions to try to obfuscate where the money came from. It's obvious what you're doing if anybody's watching the transaction log, but... I mean, if you do it right, that would be really rough to catch, you know?
Yeah.
So, just because you'd have to have somebody sit there and go through the damn thing and correlate it all, you would, I mean, you'd need a lot of accountants to catch all that if you did it right. You did it wrong.
Teams of autistics working around the clock 24 hours a day.
Madman, you know something about accounting. How hard would it be to catch if somebody did the script right and used a couple thousand Bitcoin addresses to move money around and obfuscate amounts?
Watching it just by your eyes, it'd be hard. You'd have to write a script just to correlate what transactions happened when.
Yeah, because you'd have to flag everything coming out of the addresses that the money was moved to.
Yeah.
So
you would have to have a starting point. Like, if I knew Joe Bob stole 1 million bitcoins and just looked at Joe Bob's transactions, I could find out what happened to them. But tracking the guy from the exchange that got popped would be difficult.
Yeah. All right. Next story up. This one's from The Verge. Legislators in Maryland want to turn off the lights on the NSA, literally. A bill introduced last Thursday to its House of Delegates would bar state agencies, utilities, and pretty much anything that receives state funding from providing assistance to federal agencies that collect electronic data or metadata without specific warrant to do so. Namely, the delegates are thinking of the National Security Agency, which is headquartered just outside the state's capital. Legislation is nearly identical to bills introduced elsewhere in the country, such as California, which would result in state water and electrical utilities being unable to serve the NSA. A major headache if there ever was one. It does pretty much say we're going to cut off water and electricity to the NSA, Maryland Delegate Micah Smigel, the bill's primary sponsor, tells The Verge. Though cutting off water and electricity would have the most immediate impact, the legislation would also stop the NSA from using state universities for research, make any evidence the NSA gathers inadmissible in state courts, and effectively fire any state employee who helps the NSA. They're leaving out another one on there that I think would be hilarious. Garbage collection.
That would be another good one.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't think it'd be a problem, and for the first couple of weeks, maybe not. But you'd start to notice. Smigel, the chair of the Tea Party Caucus in Maryland's House, introduced the legislation known as the Fourth Amendment Protection Act, along with seven other Republican sponsors. At a minimum, their goal is to get the legislation or legislators discussing the federal government's accountability. I'm hoping it is a reminder to all elected officials that we don't owe allegiance to the federal government. We owe allegiance to the Constitution, Smigel said. We don't need people in office who are going to help the federal government violate our constitutional rights. Though similar legislation has been introduced and discussed in other states, it is of particular importance in Maryland thanks to the presence of the NSA headquarters. Clearly, you could not use this mechanism from a state level if you were in Iowa talking about how you wanted to stop the NSA, Smigel said. You wouldn't be able to threaten what we can do here physically. The NSA both needs water and electricity in bulk to operate its computers, according to the Washington Post. An upcoming NSA data center in Maryland will use as much as 5 million gallons of water per day when it opens in 2016. For anybody confused, that's for the air conditioners. Most data centers use chillers, and they pump water around. So they're not actually water cooling their servers. I'm sorry, because that would actually be pretty badass if they were doing that, but they're not. That's for the air conditioners and the facilities of the utility. So. Yeah. Anyways, I just think it's hilarious.
That is pretty cool. I had heard that they had put that bill in, but I didn't hear about the whole fire any state employee that helps the NSA.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty crazy.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, I don't expect it to pass, but it's a fun way of getting the point across of you know, it's probably not constitutional what they're doing.
Yeah.
And every commission that's looked at it has kind of said that, and yet they're still doing it.
That's because the House of Congress, capable of stopping them, is controlled by the party of the president in power.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. There's that.
All right, last story up for today. It's from Coindesk.com. When Porn.com began accepting Bitcoin for payments on the 3rd of January, it sent off a wave of speculation that adult content would prove to be the killer app that propelled mainstream adaptation of the still-nascent technology. Driving this conversation were the impressive sales figures the site released in the aftermath of the announcement. Porn.com suggested that purchases had increased by 50% within the initial hours before settling in at 25% in the days that followed. Despite this spike in business Porn.com received, though, skeptics have argued that accepting Bitcoin has become nothing more than a publicity stunt for companies seeking to gain media attention. Porn.com's latest figures, however, provide evidence that refutes this claim. David Kay, marketing director for Porn.com's parent company, Sagan Limited, spoke to CoinDesk about his company's progress so far and noted that after 1 month, Bitcoin purchases have stabilized at 10% of sales. He said that having a payment method that appeals to its customer base is key to delivering quality content and that Bitcoin satisfies the need. He explained, "I think surfers like the anonymity of purchasing a premium membership with Bitcoin. They don't have to worry about what shows up on their credit card statement." Naughty America declined to provide current figures for its Bitcoin sales, noting that it is currently experimenting with different pricing options based on Reddit feedback.
Oh, my brain! Reddit should not know. Oh.
What's even better, I'm going to stop reading there, but if you go check the article, they've got, like, pie charts.
If they're going with Reddit feedback, porn would be free.
Yeah.
It would be moved up to a constitutional right. I should see an attractive woman naked.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot of Bitcoin news tonight, but I mean, it's just the stuff I found funny, really. So,
wow.
10% of sales are Bitcoin, so people are actually using it as a currency, which I'm wondering if they've got some script actually watching the current value of Bitcoin, because it's been all over the map here lately. I mean, how do you establish an exchange rate for what you're doing? I mean, do you have the girl, the webcam girl, sitting there, you know, with the exchange open, and it's like, oh, Bitcoin dropped 10%. I'm putting the shirt back on. I'm just curious about the logistics here.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. I don't know.
So, it is kind of interesting that, truthfully, I wasn't really aware that porn.com was a, I guess it would be, but I hadn't considered that that would be a business whose statistics would be interesting. So, it's just not the first thing that comes to mind, truthfully.
You really don't want to look at, you know, what's trending on a porn website at any time, dude. You start to realize there's some sick motherfuckers out there, man.
Like, yeah. This is the estimated number of buckets of semen that have been wiped
off.
There we go.
No. Madman, you're confusing your shows there. The buckets of Siemens is a trademark of we're not allowed to use it on this show. I've already gotten one warning letter from Suave, so
okay. But it could actually be the engine for Bitcoin to go from a speculative currency to one that could potentially be used.
That's true. That is true.
Next big hurdle they'll have to get over is Bitcoin is a deflationary currency. For anyone that wants to know what that means, it means the longer you hold onto your Bitcoin, the more stuff you can buy with it. So, if I buy, let's say, one of the first things you could buy with Bitcoins, a pair of alpaca hair socks, one of the first businesses that accepted Bitcoin sold those. That sock, the number of bitcoins spent on that pair of socks today would buy a house and a Ferrari and a nice attractive woman to suck your cock.
Do I get them on eBay too?
No, you had to fly them in from Thailand or some other country where that's still legal.
I was just wondering if you get it on Silk Road, that's all.
Wow.
Possibly. So that kind of makes people want to hang on to their bitcoins. Because whatever you buy, you could have bought a lot more of it if you waited a month.
Fair enough. So let's go ahead and move on to this. Street Fighter sound effect. What I've got today, huh?
Oh, I was just going to say, I love the Hadouken at the end. That's what gets me.
Yeah, that was our youth suggestion, actually.
That's awesome.
Let's try to make it less racist.
Hey, you know. Yeah.
It doesn't help.
But at least you tried.
Yeah. We try. It's not racist. We're making fun of old kung fu movies. Come on. So, anyways.
I tell UCLA that.
Yeah, really. That's the sad part. You can't convince anybody of that. Anyways, so what I have today for Digital Dojo is it's also on deep.web. It is Jolly Roger's Security Guide for Beginners. Now, this thing is huge. They copied it off of one of the forums in Tor. It's big. He's got all kinds of write-ups in here, and most of them aren't, you know, most of the individual sections aren't terribly long, but he does a pretty good job, at least of the bits I've skimmed, of explaining, you know, PGP, JavaScript vulnerabilities, basic setups with things like VirtualBox and Tails, and, you know, what Tor and HTTPS and SSL are, and, you know, he gets into some pretty paranoid things like what bullying tactics will the government get into with you, and how, you know, how far will law enforcement go, and the capabilities of the NSA and hiding from your ISP. But it's interesting reading, and there's some good info in there. You kind of have to sift through it and see what's applicable and what's not. It reminds me of the text files you used to see floating around BBSs.
It really does. Just give me a quick look.
Does anybody else remember those things besides me and Sard?
I remember the what was it, Anarchist Cookbook?
Yeah, Anarchist Cookbook would float around, and you know, you'd have the instructions on the different boxes, and you know, you'd have the this very write up on different things, and of course copies of 2600 and shit like that floated around. But what was the other magazine that would float around? Frack?
Yep. I remember Frack,
Anyways, but you know, of course, it was all just text documents. But this thing reads like one of those, and I occasionally hop on Tor and browse through their forums just because it reminds me of the old BBS days, hopping around in there. You know, everything's kind of slow and kind of half works, and it's all written from this very paranoid, the government's watching us, and yeah, you kind of get that vibe, and it's just great fun.
Is it still paranoid since the government is watching us?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
It kind of legitimizes all the people I made fun of growing up. Like, dude, you have an unhealthy level of paranoia, and now they're right.
Nice. But anyways, I mean, it's great fun just reading this. I mean, I don't know how seriously I would take all of it. I mean, there's some good information in there. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you can see the guy sitting in the corner gibbering to himself, one eye a different size from the other. it's a little bit out there, but it's great fun. And it kind of reads like 2600. So if you enjoy that, it's just fun.
Nice.
Anyways, you know, I suppose we could always, you know, go into the whatever subreddit that porn.com is using to get their feedback and see what they think. Anyways, that's all I've really got.
I got one for you, Morps.
All right.
Almost a future news in a way. It just keep your ear to the ground for Tesco's. Remember what happened to Target?
Yeah.
It may have happened to Tesco's.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
I've just had some stuff float across, let's just say, a board, and pretty interesting reading. And it's mainly got to do with their voucher cards and the way you put money on it and stuff like that through recharging them and stuff with the Tesco's website.
Oh, joy.
It's the similar to like Green Dot or something like that being hacked.
Let's just say all their cookies may be gone. It's gonna be big. I don't know how it's been done. There's a lot of information there.
Oh, standard website attacks, man. There's so many ways into a website if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah, but this is usernames and passwords and email accounts and what their purchase was and at what time of the day.
That means Tesco was storing all that crap in clear text.
Yep, just saying. Beautiful. It's not out yet, but we may have another target on our hands.
Usually when you see a password dump, they're all hashed, and you have to run them through a rainbow table or something to see which ones you can get out of it. But if they've got all the passwords, that generally means it was stored clear text or, you know, Base64 or some dumbass thing that's really easy to, might as well be clear text.
Pro tip, kids, pay with cash. Just saying. Loyalty cards are not loyalty cards. They're enslavement cards.
Well, there may or may not be some truth to that. Route 13 is secure for Psychros. I don't find somebody near you and tell them to smack you. Tell them you deserve it and tell them to smack you.
I'm not in there. What did he do?
He said Route 13 is good for secure passwords. Nobody else actually gets that joke, do they?
I prefer just smashing my face on a keyboard and going with that way.
I'm serious, Psychros. Go find the nearest person capable of smacking you and tell them you deserve it. Don't tell them why. Just tell them you deserve it because some guy on the internet said to smack you.
Just make sure it's not a really large, black, angry man. Go for like a small Jewish lady, preferably old. It won't hurt as much.
always listen to the stream. We are working on it constantly, and it's been up and down a lot lately. I know we're working on it. We're trying to figure that out. Of course, Pure Decking every Thursday. Shoot the Noise on Wednesdays. Missing Dialogues on Tuesday. Do I need to update this? Are we still doing Shoot the Noise?
Shoot the Noise has been on hiatus for a while. I'm not sure when it'll be coming back, and IHN is up in the air at the moment.
Yeah. Well, Sard's right here. Suave has had some things going on, so I don't know quite what's up with IHN. But Psychro says his girlfriend has slapped him. Good. Good. You deserve
I call
that.
Bullshit on girlfriend.
Not that she slapped him, that she exists.
Yeah. Tits or GTFO.
Wow.
Send old pics to Madman. Well, you can verify it. Wow, we're just picking on Psycho something fierce, man. Sorry, buddy.
Missing Dialogues on Tuesdays. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit, the Sim on OS Grid, which is probably going to be brought down for a bit. I'm not quite sure on the details of that just yet, but I don't imagine those. I'm going to have to take those down for a while. So I think that's all the ways you can get back at us. Worst case scenario, we do accept TCP IP via carrier pigeon. If you can't find a carrier pigeon, Rhesus Monkey works just as well. And
infected Rhesus Monkey.
You know, you send those straight to RU. I suggest using a giant slingshot and, you know, just aim for Australia.
It'll get here.
It'll get there. Might have to sort
of return address on it. Tattoo its ass for us.
There you go.
That's actually trying to hold a rhesus monkey down.
And tattoo its ass.
Oh, God, if there's a video out there of that, I'd love to see it. Anyone?
I'm not looking for that.
I gotta go talk to Big. He'll have one.
All right, I'm hitting play on this music now before we Rhesus Monkey. TCIPVF Rhesus Monkey.
And Catapult.
There you go. We'll be right back.
Won't you tell me?